Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number three of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Emery Hunt is going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. We'll talk some quarterbacks in the NFL draft. Is the stock starting to improve for Tyler Shuck and also for Jackson Dart? Will either go in the first round? Will Campbell with his short arms, where does that mean he's going to go in the draft? We'll get to some of this ridiculous Shedeur Sanders slander as well, and what Tennessee's going to do with the number one overall pick. And I'm also really interested, if you told me, Zach, you can't talk quarterbacks and you can't talk Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, what are you most interested in this draft? The two things I would say is, where will Tyler Warren go? And then also, how many running backs are going to go in the first round? Because you got to see, right, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley have magnificent seasons this year. Jahmyr Gibbs as well. A few other running backs too. And it feels like there's a greater respect now for the running back position than what it's been the last few years. Ashton Jeanty had a generational season. And Amarian Hampton, I remember talking to Mac Brown in the offseason. And he said it's the greatest talent he's ever coached the running back position. I'm like, coach, I just remind you, you coach Ricky Williams. He's like, yeah, I know, Zach. So I wonder how many running backs are going to go in the first round and how early they're going to go as well. So those are some things that are on my mind, and we'll talk with Emery Hunt coming up in 18 minutes from now at 5:20 p.m. Eastern. But without further ado, and I'm not talking about Freddie Adu, it's time to do a little Tuesday edition of Overreaction Proper Reaction. Botcher,
another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty. I was about to call you Mr. Samter. And I'm like, that's not Samter, that's Stuart Kovacs.
Slightly taller, slightly. Very slightly. Slightly.
Wow. Stu, punching down today. How about that?
Literally.
Yeah. That was the joke. All righty, what do we got cooking here?
As the franchise tag deadline has come and gone, one player that did not get tagged is Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold. Now, despite that, Minnesota reportedly could bring the veteran quarterback back next season, despite drafting J.J. McCarthy with the 10th pick in last year's draft. So overreaction or proper reaction, bringing back Sam Darnold gives the Vikings the best chance of competing in 2025.
I'm going overreaction because I thought you just got the best version of Sam Darnold this past year. And yes, you had a magnificent regular season. Won double-digit games up until the last game of the season. You were in line to get the number one overall seed. But did anyone ever say, hey, the Vikings are going to go win a Super Bowl? So the best chance of, is it competing or contending in 2025?
I think competing. Like competing like to be a playoff team and maybe win a playoff game.
Okay. See, now that's different. Because if it was contending, I would say I'd rather just see what J.J. McCarthy is because it's an unknown. In just competing and getting back to the playoffs, even though I think there's a higher ceiling with J.J., I think Sam gives you the better chance of just getting back to the postseason. But I would just rip off that Band-Aid, and I think you're making a long-term play. I would go to J.J. But in terms of your wording here, bringing back Sam Darnold gives the Vikings the best chance of competing in 2025. Yes, that is fair. I would go proper reaction. It's a safer play.
Now, the Bengals announced yesterday that they have placed the franchise tag on wide receiver T. Higgins for the second consecutive year. The team has until July 15th to come to a long-term deal with him. But reports say that they could also look to trade the former Clemson Tiger. So overreaction or proper reaction, despite getting tagged, T. Higgins has played his last snap for the Bengals.
2 weeks ago, I would have said proper reaction. Maybe even a week ago, I would have said proper reaction. But I think this is now an overreaction. Tagging him is one thing. Getting a long-term deal done is another thing. You have now until July 15th. But Burrow, and deservedly so, is going to be a big pain in the ass here. And Joe Burrow is going to make sure, in my opinion, that Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins get taken care of. So I do believe that T. Higgins will be playing for the Cincinnati Bengals this year. So therefore, I do not think he played his last snap for the Bengals. But the question is, despite getting tagged, T. Higgins played his last snap for the Bengals. I am going overreaction here in the 11th hour.
Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden had a great combine, running a blazing fast 40-yard dash of 4.29.
What do you think you could run the 40 in, by the way?
Low fives?
You think you could do 5 seconds? Low fives?
Maybe mid.
I don't know, Stu.
Mid fives, maybe?
I don't know.
I never tried. So I don't have anything to go like to compare
you,
it to.
You look to me and don't take this disrespect. Second guy.
Seven?
Yeah. That could be used more ways than one. If we're going Howie Roseman's late night show.
Good.
I don't know. You think you could do the 6.5.
Okay.
You take that personally.
No, I don't know.
That, you know what? That was your Kobe Bryant moment. You just said it. I could read it.
I'm going to run every day and prove you wrong.
without saying anything, I could read your mind there. And in Stu's mind, he basically just said, bleep that fat lord Zach Gelb. He's an a-hole, and he just disrespected me. That's what you basically just said about me, which is fine. Who am I to put a limitation on you?
You're probably right. I
6.5, I'd say. If you get 6.5, that's pretty good, Stu.
That's pretty good, yeah.
How much running you been doing lately?
Not a lot.
Okay. Botcher, how quickly do you think you run the 40-yard dash?
Not well. 6.5, 7.
I think Botcher's like an 8-second guy, if I'm being
honest.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
you play any sports growing up?
Yeah, I played baseball, basketball.
Oh, really? You played baseball?
Yeah.
Okay. Basketball?
Yeah. I'm not like in high school, of course, but...
Like CYO? Correctly,
yeah.
Okay. All right, what kind of give me the scouting report on your basketball abilities.
Unathletic Ron Baker. Sit in the corner. Play some good defense.
It's a good job.
It's great.
I don't know. I just feel like when there was like sports going on, I feel like Botcher had like the PlayStation on, like the PSP in his hand. That's what I was thinking on the bench. I don't know. You come off to me as someone that played a lot of sports growing up. It's just me. Don't get mad at me. Alrighty. Anyway. Get to the question.
So Golden with the 4.29 42nd time. After
I just create a lot of enemies. I'm going to get sniped walking out of the studio, honestly. This may be a 2-on-1 brawl. Botcher and Stu may try to form a mega human being and just beat the snot
still
out of me.
Still probably be shorter than you.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe get Samter, give you a little boost. Get the three of you.
After a two-way sensation, Travis.
What did you just say, Botcher?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Did you say, oh, bleep?
No, he didn't curse.
Oh, okay,
but
I almost dumped it.
No.
I was muted, one.
Oh, gotcha.
And two, what I said was off air.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead.
After two-way sensation, Travis Hunter, there are questions regarding who will be the first wideout taken, with Arizona's Tetairoa McMillan being mocked seemingly anywhere from 6 to the 20s. And then guys like Emeka Egbuka and Luther Burden III in the mix as well to be first-round picks. So overreaction or proper reaction, Matthew Golden will be the first wide receiver not named Travis Hunter taken in the draft.
No, I think he'll go in the first round now. Like, you saw Xavier Worthy go right at the end of the first round last year. Could he go a little bit earlier than that? Yes, but do I think he's now the second wide receiver off the board? I do not. So Matthew Golden will be the first wide receiver not named Travis Hunter taking the draft. I will go overreaction on that. That's a good question for Emory Hunt, who's going to join us coming up in 10 minutes. You know, give me your top five wide receivers in the draft right now and include Travis Hunter. I wonder how he would include Travis Hunter in that. All righty, next one.
We've talked a lot about Shedeur Sanders' polarizing combine. Josina Anderson reported that a team in the top seven, maybe the Jets, referred to him as...
J-E-T-S. Jets. Sorry.
No, you're right there. The peanuts. The peanuts must have done it.
Yeah, it was the peanuts. No doubt about it.
Team in the top seven referred him as coming off as brash and arrogant. Now, according to Todd McShay, two teams in the top 10 that need a quarterback reportedly left.
You saying brash and arrogant? Why are you talking about Bill Reiter like that?
Another one on the board.
I love Bill.
Two teams in the top 10 that need a quarterback left their meetings with the Colorado Signal caller, quote, as if he did not care too much what they or the organization felt of him, end quote.
Yeah.
So overreaction or proper reaction, if you were drafting in the top 10 and needed a quarterback, you would not draft Sanders.
Overreaction. You're telling me Cleveland, the Giants, the Raiders are all going to pass on Shador? If he's there at the Jets. You know what? I actually want Shador Sanders now to fall to the Jets at 7. And just see how quickly this quarterback coach will be run out of that building. Come on. Like, those are four teams right there. Not all four of them could pass on Shador Sanders. I do think Cam Ward will be the first quarterback taken. So if I'm drafting the top 10 and need a quarterback, I would not draft Sanders. That is an overreaction.
As always, the quarterback position is the most intriguing in the draft. After Cam Ward and Shador, questions remain who will be the third quarterback off of the board and where. Ole Miss's Jackson Dart and Louisville's 25-year-old Tyler Shuck are the most common names to fit that. So overreaction or proper reaction, either Dart or Shuck will go in the first round.
I would not use a first-round pick on either. I still don't think Shuck is going in the first round. I can now see Dart. So either Dart or Shuck will go in the first round. Oh, Shucks, I guess because it's Dart, I think he'll fall in the first round. I guess I'll have to go proper reaction here. Ugh, hate saying that. I don't think either should, but I do think Dart will.
LSU offensive lineman Will Campbell had a polarizing weekend. While he excelled in drills, including his 40-time, 10-yard dash, vertical, and broad jump.
What's longer, Samter or Will Campbell's arms?
So they're 32 and 5/8 inches. So
there's 12 inches in a foot.
Yeah. So I mean,
Samter's longer.
Oh, Samter's longer. I'm trying to do the whole wingspan, though. I think his wingspan is bigger than Samter, right? Because I think his wingspan's like 70. I think I read it's like 77.
And Samter's not 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
If my quick.
No, he's yeah.
Yeah. So.
So okay. Must be the wingspan.
Yeah.
So all his, you know, those statistics are good, but again, the
32 and 5/8.
32 and 5/8, really not good, not great. I think Robert Galley was like 32 and a quarter, for comparison. But
you know, when I watch Will Campbell play, I never looked at him and said how that guy has short arms.
No, never. He just looks like a normal tackle when you watch him.
Yeah, I just looked at a photo of him now. Yeah, I'm not sitting here and saying he's Taylor Lewan, but like his arms look normal here. All right, anyway, get to the question.
So overreaction or proper reaction?
No, the combine photo, the arms look a little bit shorter.
Uh-oh.
Short arms. Small hands and short arms. My favorite part of the NFL draft conversation.
Overreaction or proper reaction? Will Campbell will have to move to guard to be a success in the NFL.
Could he move to guard? Yes. Does he have to? No, because he's as, like, outside of the arms. Name me a flaw that we heard with Will Campbell up until the arms with his candidacy for the NFL draft. There wasn't one. So will he have to move to guard to be a success in the NFL? I'm saying that's an overreaction right now. I think he could be a successful tackle, but the short arms, everyone's freaking out about.
All right, last one. With the successful seasons of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry in their new homes last season, it appears that the value of the running back position is at an all-time high. Now, Heisman runner-up Ashton Jeanthe is, of course, expected to be the first off the board somewhere in the first round, with North Carolina's Omarion Hampton shining as he ran a 4.4640 with some good measurements as well. Overreaction or proper reaction, there will be two running backs drafted in the first round this year.
I think that's a proper reaction. It wouldn't shock me if at least see three running backs go in the first round. But I do think you'll see Omarion Hampton and then also Ashton Jeanthe be the first two running backs off the board, and I think both will go in the first 32 picks. All righty. That is overreaction, proper reaction on the Zach Gelb Show. Let's take a timeout. We'll be back in 5 minutes, and we got a ton of questions coming up with Emory Hunt, who will join us on the other side. His great job as a draft analyst for CBS Sports HQ.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right. righty, coming off the combine, we're getting set for the NFL draft that comes up on April 24th as things get started out there in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we'll see who the first 32 picks are for the first round. Let's talk a little prospects. Let's talk a little NFL draft. We do so with someone that covers the NFL draft and also college football all throughout the year for CBS Sports HQ. It has a great website, footballgameplan.com, and that is Emory Hunt, kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. Emory, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for it. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Zach. As always, appreciate you bringing me on the show.
All right, let me start you off with Shedeur Sanders. The last 24 hours, I call this the jackassery of the NFL draft season. I watched Shedeur Sanders play at Jackson State, Colorado. I always thought he did more with less. I don't know if he'll go on to be an all-time great quarterback, but I do think he could be good. And now people are saying he's arrogant and he's brash, and I just think it's silly what goes on this time of the year. What's your evaluation of Shedeur Sanders?
I've never wavered from Shedeur Sanders. He has always been Joe Burrow-like to me, based on how he plays the position from the neck up. And I'm glad you brought up Jackson State, because it seems like a lot of people, those years don't even count. They treat it like it's a JUCO. But he was out there as a freshman playing outstanding football, Black College National Player of the Year, two-time SWAC champion. Jerry Rice Award was the freshman of the year in the FCS level and went on to Colorado, won a Johnny Unitas Award, got those guys to a bowl game. You know, you look at what he's done statistically over the course of his career, finished college football as the most with the highest completion percentage in college football history. So that's dating back to, what, 1869? So he has done it. So what you're hearing now is people's disdain for Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, and they're throwing it on his son. I'll tell you this. They don't even like Cam Ward like that. They just don't like Shedeur Sanders because of his father. Because if it was just Cam Ward in his draft, they'll be saying, oh, he quit on his team. Oh, he has a low delivery with his passes. They'll knock him too. So I'm not buying it. Wherever he's going to go, him or Cam Ward, you can't go wrong with either one. They should go 1-2 or 2-1. They should go with the top two picks in the draft.
If you had to be making the picks, would you take Cam Ward first or Shedeur Sanders first?
Don't matter. Both of those dudes are excellent quarterbacks. They both have that dog mentality. So wherever you need a quarterback, whether it's Tennessee, Cleveland, the Giants, if I'm the Giants, I'm sweating because those two guys are legit top two picks, and whoever's going to take them will reap the benefits of elite-level quarterback play.
When you look at Tennessee, and I know, right, you just said, hey, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders should be the first two picks of the draft. But Emory Hunt, in terms of what will happen, I'm fascinated right at the top because I think for Tennessee, you either trade that pick or you take Cam Ward. What do you ultimately think Tennessee will do?
Take the quarterback. Because they saw what happened last year. I mean, Brian Callahan's face, every time Will Levis made some bonehead play, was priceless. But there were six of those bonehead plays away from three more wins. This team is not as bad as people make them out to be. They could legitimately have a Washington Commanders situation. So could the New York Jets. So could the New York Giants. So could the Cleveland Browns. Those three teams we watched last year, and we were watching them lose close games, and you're saying, man, if they just had stability at quarterback, they'd be a lot better than what people than what their record says. That's all three of those teams in the top three, which is why any one of those teams getting one of the two of these QBs should be in great shape.
Who's the third best quarterback in this draft?
In my opinion, is Jalen Milroe, and I'll tell you why. The reason why, you know, people don't put a lot of stock in this. The guy won the Academic Heisman Trophy and the Campbell Award, and that is a hard nut to crack. That's why you see schools celebrate when you're a semifinalist. So to go out there and win it as the starting quarterback at Alabama with all of the success he's had there to still lock in the classroom speaks volumes. And think about when the first time we saw Jalen Milroe in 2022, we were like, man, I don't know if he's going to make it by the end of the season as a quarterback. And then he got better in 2023 after they benched him for South Florida. Then they needed him throughout the rest of the season. He goes, outperforms Carson Beck in the SEC title game, wins an SEC championship, gets them to the college football playoff. And this year they were breaking in a new coach with a new offensive system. So he had the ups and downs. Same amount of touchdowns, just had more turnovers. And that was probably a lot of the time he was pressing and he made some critical mistakes. But when you talk about someone that saw deficiency, got better, still locked in, helped his team win, I can take a chance on that guy whether it's late in the first trading back in or at the top of the second. So if you're a team that's missing out on Ward or Shedeur Sanders, Jalen Milroe, with the way he plays and the way he goes about his business, military kid, focused, determined, that's what I would bet on.
Yeah, and personally, I would only use a first-round pick in this draft for the quarterback position on Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. My problem with Jalen Milroe, and I think he was more accomplished than Anthony Richardson in college, but I think there's some similarities. You saw some of what the ceiling could be, and then the floor, it was a deep fall-off. There was no, like, middle ground. And I just think the disparity on the floor to the ceiling for Jalen Milroe is what was concerning for me this past year.
Well, I find it fascinating, though, because we never hear about the Florida game for Jackson Dart or, you know, you look at
Kentucky,
Tyler
too.
Shuck, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Tyler
yeah.
Shuck playing, you know, 17 years. I'm not as worried about Milroe's floor. Guys have bad games. So we can't, slaughter one guy for a bad game and then justify another guy's bad game and say, well, he does this. Well, maybe it was this, this, and that. It happens. We see it all the time. We saw it in the Super Bowl. So, sometimes those bad games happen. I like the fact that you brought up Anthony Richardson for Jalen Milroe, but it shows you the benefit of being able to play multiple games consistently, which is something Richardson wasn't even able to do in college because he was hurt on and off again. And then now we see that in the NFL, he has to stay healthy. But Milroe, you saw progression, and then the offense changed, and then you saw the ups and downs. So that's why I think a team that, you know, let's say like the Raiders or a team like the Jets that has a Tyrod Taylor, you know, let's say you bring him along slowly, put him on that Jordan Love plan, put him on that Malik Willis plan in Green Bay, and when you put him back out there, you got yourself a starting quarterback.
How many quarterbacks do you ultimately think go in the first round? Just wondering.
Oh, that's a good question. I'd probably say like four.
Wow.
I could see four, and two being two trade back ends. And maybe somebody based on what we witness out in Indianapolis where, you know, the interviews are important. How healthy is a Quinn Ewers who had a lot of fans coming into the season, you know, and I like how he answered those questions about his mental toughness because we know you have to be mentally tough to play quarterback there based on who the backup is. And all he did was just get his team to the postseason, back-to-back season. So there's some it there with him that you like. And we'll see which other quarterback gets talked up into trading in. Because, again, last year, I would have never guessed that we would have saw Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy go in round one. And even Michael Penix was kind of like, yeah, I could kind of see it, but I don't know how teams view that. And then all three went in the top 10 or top 12.
When you look at Jackson Dart, when's the earliest you think he could go?
What I think or what I would do?
What you think. Not what you would do, what you think NFL teams would do.
Knowing these NFL teams, he probably could go first overall. So,
you don't believe that.
At the end of the day, it wouldn't shock me to see him going round one. Crazier things have happened. And there's no knock to Jackson Dart. I like Jackson Dart. He does have some athleticism. I think he would be a strong QB2 at the NFL level because we've seen now since COVID, you know, since 2020, that you're going to need a backup to play at least three games, you know. And so you better have someone that's played a lot, which he has, someone that has athleticism, which he has, someone that is not afraid of the moment, which he has played in the SEC. I think that's a situation where you can strengthen your QB2. Could probably be a fringe starter, in my opinion, but is versus pressure where he has to be better. And that's something that you really can't coach. He's going to have to figure that journey out on his own.
I think Ashton Jeanty and Amarian Hampton are going to go in the first round. Do you think we could get a third running back in the first round, or is that just not going to happen because still the up-in-the-air evaluation of value when it comes to the running back position?
It's tough because if you are listening to how people frame, first of all, I've never been of the type to say running backs don't matter, obviously. But if you listen to a lot of the talk that people say, you can't give these guys a second contract, just draft another one. Well, if you use that logic, wouldn't it be advantageous to take them in round one when you get them on a younger, cheaper deal? And then you could decide if you want to extend them or whatnot. So with that being, the foundation, I can see a Travion Henderson going round one. I can see someone like that sneaking in the first round because of his ability to pass protect. We know he has explosive speed, and we also know he has the ability to make guys miss. That's what you want, someone that could be out there all three downs that can, you know, kill you with the explosive play, keep your quarterback up right with his pass pro, and also catch the ball out of the backfield and be a downfield threat in a passing game.
Emory Hunt here with us. Let's go into the trenches. Offensive tackle, Will Campbell. Everyone's freaking out about these short arms. I watched a lot of Will Campbell this year. I thought he was a heck of a player. How will these short arms and that measurement at the combine affect his draft stock, in your opinion?
It shouldn't affect his draft stock, because this is the example I always use when we're talking about arm length. And I always put it in my notes in my scouting reports. Can X player, whether it's offense or defense, win the hands first battle, right? Because if I get my hands on you first, I'm in control. And you could have long arms, but are slow and get them on the defender, and you lose that battle. Mike Tyson was 5'10", and everyone he fought had outreached him. But guess what Mike Tyson did? Woom, 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 bang, got inside you and knocked you out. Like, so your long arms don't matter. If I get my hands on you first, I'm going to win the battle. And that's what Will Campbell has done. And here's the thing. This other part, too. I used to use this argument for, you know, when he talked about Russell Wilson coming into the draft, and I had him as my number three quarterback with a first round grade in that 2012 class. Like, what? He's too short. I was like, he has been 5'10 his whole life. You don't think he knows how to play at 5'10? You don't think he knows how to find passing windows? He wouldn't have gotten this far at a Power Four school at North Carolina State and into another Power Four program in a bigger conference at Wisconsin had he not been able to play. So that stuff doesn't matter to me. It's about how quickly you can react, how quickly you use your assets. And you know, if I got shoulder arms, I have to win first. And so he's been able to do that consistently from start to finish in his LSU career.
Who do you think will get drafted first, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter?
Wow, that's a great question. I would probably say Abdul Carter, because I think the draft really starts at two, because Cleveland is in a unique spot. We understand they need a quarterback, but you have Myles Garrett sitting out there saying he wants to trade. Well, here's a guy that you can get to kind of replace Myles Garrett or step in and be that pass rusher coming off the edge. So they kind of can go either way. I can see them toying with that decision. Maybe they get a veteran, because maybe they don't have the time to that organization or that regime doesn't have a time to develop a young guy. They need to win now, so maybe they go Abdul Carter. I can see him going as early as two and as low as potentially five, you know. So I don't see him falling out of the top five, but I would say he would go first, because I wouldn't – if the top two quarterbacks are gone, I can see Hunter going three, you know, before Abdul Carter, because the Patriots would love to have Travis Carter. So, matter of fact, top four, I would say – I wouldn't see Abdul Carter fall, but I could see him going as early as two.
How about Tyler Warren? I think the earliest he could go is seven to the Jets. Is that about right in your opinion?
If he goes to the Jets at seven, then Indianapolis would be highly frustrated, because that would be the next spot I could see him go. But the Jets would be ideal for him. Whoever they bring in that quarterback will need someone that's a safety valve. And what's good about Warren, he enhances your playbook inside the red zone, because he's a wildcat quarterback. He's good with the ball in his hands, and he can actually throw. So you're getting, you know, someone that can kind of add more creativity, but he's always find a way to be open. He breaks tackles after the catch. He's an ideal tight end in today's game. I like Tyler Warren, and I know some people would kind of shudder at the thought that a tight end goes in the top 10. Not this dude. This dude's a raw football player. And put him out there anyway. Roll the ball out and go play.
How do you think, Emory Hunt, that Travis Hunter is going to be used in the NFL?
On both sides of the ball. And here's why. I brought this up last night on HQ. If you are the New England Patriots, and let's say you get Travis Hunter, and you start him at corner, and a quarterback is not going to throw his way because he's literally throwing to a wide receiver. So you're going to have to throw to who? Christian Gonzalez? Like, good luck throwing the football against New England, right? Then on offense, you don't need him to be out there as your bona fide X. He could be your number three receiver, getting 25 plays a game and do damage. It opens everything up for everybody else, because he doesn't need volume to make an impact. Even him out there is just going to open up the offense, and he gets a bit of a break, to be honest, in the NFL more so than college. At Colorado, he was their number one. In the NFL, he's going to be your number three receiver at best, I believe. And on defense, he's your number one or number two corner or 1B corner that's going to take the ball away. So I can see him playing both sides of the ball. I think he's going to get more of a break. I know the NFL game is a lot more physical. But there's ways to where he can have a little bit more of a break than what he did in college.
In your opinion, if I say you can't say Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, who are the three best defensive players in this draft, Emery?
If I can't say those two, I haven't even finished grading the defensive side of the ball yet to even give you a good answer. Because those are the guys I just have off the top of my head. I'm still working through offense right now, so I wouldn't even give you a good answer. I'm not going to even sit up here on your frequency modulation and lie to you by throwing out some names. So I don't even know yet.
Gotcha. All right, then, since you're on the offensive side of the ball, wide receivers. Who do you like wide receivers?
I like what I've seen from Tet McMillan. You know, I know he's kind of it's kind of a debate because, you know, some people don't like him, some people do. Him and Luther Burden, I'm a big fan of. McMillan, to me, I like that he's a big receiver, but he has the ability to be a rack guy, you know, a run after catch guy. So that's awesome for someone that big to be that much of a threat after the catch, and he has great hands. Burden, I feel like people forgot about. He was thought of highly amongst NFL scouts and personnel coming into the season. Brady Cook was banged up this year, so he didn't get the football in their passing game like he did the year before. Luther Burden is a phenomenal receiver. I also feel like when you think in terms of Golden at Texas, and all those Texas boys really stepped up this year, and the one guy that wasn't even at the combine, Silas Bolden, was a really good receiver too. So we'll see him blister up his pro day. This is a really good receiver class, and I feel like when you think about why that is, more 3-4-5 wide receiver sets, so guys are getting more routes on air, more time on task, so they're coming into the NFL much more polished than they have been in years prior.
Make sure you check him out, footballgameplan.com. Also does a great job for CBS Sports HQ, draft analyst, college football, all that great stuff. He's Emery Hunt. Emery, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Always, Zach. Thanks a lot, man.
You got it. There he is, Emery Hunt on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. I got a three-step plan for the Steelers at the quarterback position. I'll reveal what the Steelers should do when we return. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So I was just reading an article during the break. And obviously we found out last week about the passing of Gene Hackman and also his wife and their dog. And at first they thought it was because of carbon monoxide. And they said there was no foul play. Now they've ruled out the carbon monoxide. And I just read an article that officials found the couple dead in the Santa Fe home nearly 1 week ago in what detectives have called a suspicious circumstances. According to a search warrant inventory list obtained by Fox News, authorities obtained two cell phones, an orange prescription bottle, and a 2025 planner while inspecting the residence. So, and a lot of people are just fascinated by what happened, right? You know, Gene Hackman was, 94? I think he was, 95, 94, 95, something like that. So him passing away, it's like if it was just him, all right, old age, like wonderful life, awesome, right? Like unfortunate, but he lived a great life, right? You know, that to me, when you make it 94, 95 years, you know, it's sad when anytime someone goes, but it's like an unbelievable run. But then you find out his wife died as well and the dog. So it just provides a lot of questions and makes you question a lot of things. So we'll see what ends up happening and what they did end up finding and things like that. But there was also an article attached to this, and it was the 50 best Gene Hackman. Oh, no. It was, how many rankings is this? Oh, my goodness gracious. It ranks 77 Gene Hackman movies. 77. Now, this isn't his best movie, and this is all subjective to what you think. But the first movie that I think of is The Replacements, because it's one of my favorite movies ever. So I'm looking, I'm like, all right, where's The Replacements on this? And we're talking about one of the legendary actors of all time. So I'm scrolling through, hey, not in the top 10, not in the top 20, not in the top 30, not in the top 40. And I end up finding The Replacements 56. 56. Now, I love the movie, right? 55, though, other movies are ranked before The Replacements. It just shows you how much of a legendary actor he was. That's right. Stu, I know you're not a big movie guy. Have you ever seen... Please tell me you've seen The Replacements, please.
No.
You don't know who Shane Falco is?
No.
Falco, Falco, Falco. And it's very fitting that I'm wearing like red, white, and blue today. That's a great movie. Have you never seen The Replacements?
There is a laundry list of movies I have not seen.
Okay.
Good movies too, I'm sure.
Next time you have a weekend, I think you would enjoy The Replacements. Like when you're a sports guy. So like sometimes there's just movie guys and there's sports guys. There's a lot of movie guys that don't find some of the sports movies good. I, as a sport guy first before movie guy, love The Replacements. Like that show Ballers, people hated it on HBO. I loved it because it was a sports guy. It was like Entourage for sports. Botcher, have you seen The Replacements?
No, but is that the one with Keanu Reeves?
All right, yeah. How have you not seen The Replacements?
No interest in it. There's so many football movies I can watch. Why would I watch that one?
I'm just sad. How you have never seen the... I expected it from Stu. Expected it. You, at least you knew, right, who played Shane Falco. But you not seeing The Replacements, a little bit disappointed.
I wasn't alive when it came out.
All righty, so what?
It's also only 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ugh, you're one of those people, right? You're like my sister. Oh, it doesn't have a good rating. Doesn't have a good rating.
It's a fan. It's only 66% fan viewers, too. Yeah.
Can I tell you something what makes the world fascinating place? You could watch something. You could think something's the greatest thing in the world. And someone else and 1,000 other people think it could suck. I'm not saying this is one of my, like, the best movie ever. But it's always a movie when it's on. I always enjoy watching it. I would just give it a watch and let me know. You're here. Wait, you're here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yes, right?
I'll probably watch it today before Daredevil comes out.
You don't have to do that tonight. But by the end of the week, you know, want to watch it, give me a little review. Would be nice. Anyway, two things. Devontae Adams now available. I'll make a quick prediction, and we'll do more of these tomorrow. I think he's going to be a Charger. And then Saquon Barkley, Adam Schefter, Eagles are rewarding Saquon Barkley with a two-year, $41.2 million contract extension that makes him the highest-paid running back in NFL history, per sources. The deal makes Barkley the NFL's first $20 million per year running back. Barkley also has the ability to earn an additional $15 million in incentives and escalators. The deal includes $36 million fully guaranteed at signing. The Eagles are taking the rare step of extending Barkley 1 year into his three-year deal and in the same league year in which they signed him to the initial contract. So there's the cherry on top of the Sunday for Saquon Barkley and what was a wonderful season for him. When I look at Saquon, here's what I'll also say on this. There is money, and spreading out the money is a big reason why this is. Like, you only had 2 years left on the, or I think it was a four-year contract. For, yeah, it was 3 years left on the deal. So adding two more on, this is going to be able to spread out that money even more and make it even more friendly for the Philadelphia Eagles. Sam Lynch had this tweet, and this was quote tweeted by Elliot Shore Parks. This is a good guess of the new Saquon deal. His old deal had $24.5 million, $12.5 million left guaranteed. My guess is that they guaranteed the rest of that, paid him a $10 million signing bonus, added a $1.5 million guarantee in 2027, and a $31.2 million base salary over 2027, 2028 would increase his cap number in 2025 from 7.361 to 9.361. So, you know, spread some things out and things like that. I was reading a bunch of it online. But for Saquon, the first year was so successful. And like, this has been a player that, unfortunately, his career has been marred with injuries. I just wonder what these next 4 years are going to look like. It doesn't matter what they look like. He already won a Super Bowl, right? He could never play another down for the Eagles again. He'd get hurt tomorrow. Career could be over. Doesn't matter. It was a success. But now Saquon's playing to get into the Hall of Fame, right? You win a Super Bowl. You had one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen from running back. Now, what can you do in the next 3 to 5 years? And if you could have it like 3 more great seasons, I do ultimately think Saquon will end up being a Hall of Famer. All righty, before I get on out of here, if I'm Omar Khan and if I'm Mike Tomlin, this is a realistic 3-step plan. And one of these steps need to be met in order for you to get your quarterback for this upcoming year. These are the 3 options. Number 1, in order, I would go sign Aaron Rodgers when he becomes available. I think it's a perfect stopgap for a year, considering what's available. You can't get Stafford now. He's back with the Rams. I would go and get Aaron Rodgers. If I can't get Aaron Rodgers, right? Rodgers goes somewhere else, or for whatever reason, I don't think he wouldn't be interested in the Steelers, but let's just say he isn't. I would then try to get a 3-year deal, a 3 to 4 year deal, like Baker Mayfield type of contract, to Sam Darnold. If Sam Darnold, let's say, returns to Minnesota or goes to the Raiders, then the last resort would be 4-year, Justin Fields, I'm committing to you for an entire 17-game regular season. One of those 3 guys are realistic to get, and in my order of preference, it would be Rodgers 1, Sam Darnold 2, Justin Fields in at 3. Anybody else, I think, would it make sense or it's unrealistic? Like Russell Wilson, I don't need to see him again. You could say, oh, the Steelers trade up in the draft. I think it's unrealistic. But one of those 3 guys, Rodgers 1, Darnold 2, Justin Fields 3, that's what Omar Khan and the Pittsburgh Steelers need to do. All righty, that will wrap it up for this Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I will be going to Madison Square Garden, back-to-back nights. Was there last night for a little Rangers and Islanders. I will be there tonight for Warriors and the New York Knicks. You probably see me on TV. I'm sitting like a row or two behind the Knicks bench, and I'm in a big red sweatshirt that says "You already snow" on it. So we'll put some social media content out there at Zach Gelb. Instagram and Twitter, ZACHGLB. Botcher, great job as always. Stu, thank you as well. Emery Hunt, thank you. And each and every one of you, however you watch us or listen to us, we appreciate you as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.